Were you watching The Voice last night?
The Voice of Ireland on 2FM.
The woman's had everything. Strawberry compote, thick creamy yogurt. Outstanding.
Muller Corner sponsors The Voice of Ireland.
Okay, we got Brezzy. Hi, Brezzy.
Hey, how are you? What's back?
Not too bad at all. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad.
Okay, last night we saw you get another two onto Team Brezzy.
I did.
I think everybody was surprised that of your first person, Roel, isn't it?
Yeah, my opera singer, a Filipino opera singer.
What made you, I mean, he was good, but it just, again, I just didn't think it'd be you. What made you turn?
I don't know. As I said, the other side of things as well is like, you need to mix it up a little bit. And I kind of, like a bit, like the years before, I kind of, the issue I had with the opera singers was that they were actually coming out and just singing opera.
Yeah.
And every week they come out and do another opera song. And I was like, would you not kind of tink it up or mix it up and maybe take something very, like you take a prime example of Il Divo taking contemporary modern music, yeah, and turn it into opera. I just thought, like, it's a bit of a challenge. You can kind of, you know, you start thinking of songs that are out at the moment and how you could potentially turn them into opera songs. So I think that was kind of where my head was at with it. And I know I turned around and I just said, this most intense man I've ever seen in my life. I thought it was hilarious. I had a very entertaining moment when I turned around, as you probably saw.
He was great afterwards when he ran backstage as well. And then he started singing Danny Boy in about four languages, I think, or something. So he does seem to have a lot, you know, a lot of talent on various levels. But have you ever worked or have you ever sang opera?
Absolutely not. I was in a choir. I was in the choristers, which was a church choir when I was younger.
Right.
And that's not an opera, but that's about as we did quite a bit of classical stuff. But like I said, if you're gonna take an opera singer and then send them out singing opera every week, it's pointless, really. It's not. And he said himself, the minute I got speaking to him, he goes like, that was an opera song, but he doesn't see himself as an opera singer.
Right.
He'd see himself as he can sing opera, but he can sing others. And yet, then again, when you look at him, if any of the kind of purest opera singers don't realise he doesn't have the power of an opera singer, so he really isn't one, in my opinion, to be perfectly honest.
Have you ever sat through an entire four-hour opera?
I have tried.
I tried once.
I mean, the thing, I went to a thing in London, a friend of mine was involved with it, and I mean, it's quite a spectacle, but if I'm being perfectly honest, it's just not my thing. It's just, you know, after about 2 hours of it, my arse was numb in the seat, and I kind of just wanted to leave.
I think the thing about when opera came out first, all those years ago, there wasn't, you know, we weren't on social media or Twitter, obviously, and there wasn't even TV, so people didn't mind going somewhere warm for 4 hours, but it can be a little bit of a struggle, really.
I think anything for 4 hours is a struggle. Like, that's the reality. Like, you could be watching a great film, but once you go over that 3 hour mark, you're kind of going, oh God, please.
Yeah.
But no, opera wouldn't be my first choice of a music genre.
Does Royal have a comfort zone, or is he willing to go anywhere with you?
What do you mean by that? Now, you talk musically, or
I think we'll stick to music at the moment.
Okay,
Brezzy,
right.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about, he definitely doesn't have a comfort zone. He's an intensive care unit nurse. He's quite willing to push himself, and I've kind of said to him, "Listen, you're not going to get very far if we do what we do." And you'll see now as the show progressed and I got to work with him a bit.
Yeah,
you realise he's not an opera singer. He just sang an opera song, and I think that's really where the issue lies. And then the other thing with he's quite trained as a vocalist. You know, you can see in the way he sings and everything is very, it's very dynamic and I suppose visual. But once I got to work with him, you realise that it's not his first choice being an opera singer. I just thought he said he had a minute and a half to impress, and he thought that would be the song that would do it. So.
Well, and it worked. Somebody's actually texting. Mary in Castle Gregory says she's heard Roel on a few occasions in Tralee, and he can sing everything and anything, and he will surprise everybody in the live shows. He's absolutely brilliant. So there's somebody who's seen him live.
Yeah, no, he can absolutely. I said, you understand as well, people don't realise, like, that's the first time you hear them.
Yeah.
And then when you start working with them, you start realising what they're capable of or what they're not capable of, and then, you know, that's really the part of the coaching process, I suppose.
Next one for Team Brezzy was Heather. Is it Heather Martin? She's a 19-year-old student, very shy. And you said she has an insane gift.
I think once again, like once I started working with her, the shyness thing, it kind of does scare me. Depends if it's shyness. There's a there's a level of shyness and there's a level of nervousness. And yeah. I think shyness is fine. But the nerve thing is something that really does scare me in this show, because I thought to a point, having in previous years, I'm like, well, a couple of weeks and we'll sort it out. You can't, you know, it's the reality is there's no point in lying. You can't sort it out in a couple of weeks. It's something that can take years to actually build up. And my advice to people with that amount of nerves is to get on stage anywhere in front of two people and open mic sessions. That's the only way to get rid of it. But when I started working with her, I realized some of these singers don't have enough self-belief, you know. And that's something you can work on pretty quickly. You can actually say to them, listen, you've gone through an addition of, you know, how many thousand people have gone to get to this point in your ear. So you can work on that pretty quickly. Yeah. But there's something, you'll notice actually as the show going on, there's something very, very special with her voice.
Would you still have a case of the old nerves before you go on to perform? I mean, is it healthy once you can control it?
Yeah, it is. It's like coming quick. You need to use it to fuel you. Like, depends where you're gigging or what you're doing. And I mean, I've never got to the point where I was basically uncontrollable. I had once. I had uncontrollable nerves where I actually literally, my fingers wouldn't play the guitar, which is not a good thing.
No.
And that's why I often say to people playing the guitar and the voice, just be careful, because the first thing that will go if you get nervous is your hands will shake. And then if you're playing the guitar, there's nothing worse than hearing, you know, someone kind of losing concentration because their guitar's all over the place. So you have to be very careful with it.
And for you, how did you get over that when you just realised, God, the fingers aren't even strumming?
I had no choice. You just got to go out. And I just made an absolute mess of the first two or three songs. And, you know, you just, that's what makes it. That was like, that was in front of, that was supporting AC/DC in Punchestown. That was in front of 60,000 people. And I went out and they were all metalers and they had no interest in watching us. And I was going, oh God, they're going to, I don't know, they're just going to abuse us for the next 40 minutes. So I just got this uncontrollable urge to run away. But we went on and it was fine.
Do you have a tactic when you're on The Voice? Because the one thing I notice is the way all the judges are looking at each other, and there's sort of a smile and a nodded glance or whatever. And like then, you waited till the very last second then to hit it. Is there a way you play the game?
Not really. I think Keane has a little bit of a thing going on, but like with me, it's just, I'm beside Dolores, so half the time we're just, like she's just looking at you with this kind of blank stare going, I'm going to hit the button. Like the first couple of auditions, she didn't realise, it's like, Dolores, you know, if you like someone, you've got to hit that button so the chair won't turn around on its own. So she used to look at me going, am I meant to, so that's half the time. But there's no tactics. Like but what I have done in the past is I've hit the button too early and then someone goes for the high note and it absolutely falls apart and you're like, oh God, what have I done?
So right, okay.
I tend to wait a little bit just in case they go somewhere and that really puts me off.
It's a good standard this year, I've got to say. It's a really high standard. There's potentially a lot of winners there.
It's a different one. Like, I think for the last few years, we had a lot of big singers, like kind of belters and what I call the diva singers. And, you know, I think this year we've got just a much more eclectic mix. I think that's more of how I can see it. And the one thing is, the blinds are just such a tiny, tiny example of what these people are capable of. Like, you start seeing it in the battles and then the lives. Some people fall apart. Some people actually just come to life.
Yeah.
So I think it's really just a small part. For us, too, it's a minute and a half. So people kind of making their minds up who's winning the show at this point is absolutely insane. So there's, you know, like, there's how many, 8 live shows, 10 live shows, and the battle shows, 4 battle shows.
Yeah, there's a lot to go.
So before you start making your mind up who's going to win, I think you should chill out.
Yeah, God, it's tough. When you think of it, 90 seconds, that's it. You've got 90 seconds to prove yourself. I'm just reading the papers there. You're stepping back from the solo career.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I was kind of, something obviously, it's not something I decided to do overnight and decided to come out and put a blog on my website, but it was just, I just have to be honest, I've never fully warmed to it. It's a different animal altogether, being a solo artist and kind of going in the studio with a producer or whatever and just working there on your own. And it's just, I enjoyed it, but it definitely didn't give me the buzz of being in a band that I used to have with the Blizzards.
So where do you go? What do you do now?
Well, I mean, I'm quite, as I said, I always have the door open with the band. We always remain good friends and I kind of, I think the issue with being in a band as well is you always put yourself under huge pressure. You always say, we have to break the UK, or we have to, this has to do this, or this has to do that. We have to get signed. And often you actually, you stop enjoying it. You don't enjoy it. And I kind of sat down with the lads and said, if we do it again, there's got to be no expectations. Yeah. There's got to be no pressure. It's just something, being in a rehearsal room and crafting songs that way is just the way I enjoy it the most. So if we do, if I do go back playing again, I think I'd love to kind of see how the Blizzards will go again.
So is that, I mean, in a roundabout way, are you saying you're getting back with the Blizzards?
We're going to go back jamming, you know, and I think that's the thing. When you say you're getting back, people just go, well, there's going to be tour and there's going to be an album.
Yeah.
We haven't made any of those commitments yet. Like, we just want to see if we get back in. And
Was it the intensity of the commitments the last time that's what happened with the Blizzards? Because as you said, you put so much pressure on yourselves, and the media were looking at you guys as, I mean, that's a terrible label in Ireland, but the next U2, you know what I mean? That's sort of terrible label. Was there intense pressure?
It was. Like, I mean, it wasn't like, it sounds like, we never, I know this sounds really bad, but the Blizzards never took ourselves that seriously in an industry that was massively serious. At the time we came out, it was, the indie thing was big, and, you know, it was all about image, and that wasn't us. And I always said to ourselves, like, we're going to be made, probably going to this scene, and it's not our thing. And I just think lots of things happened, you know. We've been touring Ireland, we've done the UK a couple of times, and it wasn't going quite the way we wanted it to. So instead of starting to resent each other and pulling the heads of each other, we decided to just say, listen, let's park it. And,
yeah.
And that's why I said with the solo thing, if you're not enjoying something, I really don't see the point in doing it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, it's a hard decision, and some people were surprised, but, you know, life's too short to be doing something that doesn't give you a buzz, like, and I think that's kind of why I decided to make the decision.
Do you believe you got the level of success as a solo artist that you'd set out for? Is that part of it as well, that maybe you just thought it was going to be bigger?
No, I think the solo thing is, like, I think you really have to get what you put into it, you know. And I coming to make the second album, I was struggling at that point, and I had to kind of go into the studio and spend 5 weeks writing and making the album. And I kind of felt at that point, the same thing again, you do put pressure on yourself, and you have absolutely no control over what happens in the industry. You don't know if radio are going to play your songs. You don't know if people are going to buy your records.
Mm.
And you start thinking about too much, and what happens then is you lose that rawness. The great thing about the Blizzards, when we wrote our best songs, was when we just didn't think about it. We didn't think about who was going to play it or who wasn't going to play it, and they were raw. And I think that's kind of where you need to go again if you actually want to enjoy your music.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, at the moment, the voice takes... I mean, it takes... Once it kicks in big time, it takes a lot of your time out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Like, it depends how much you commit to it. And I mean, I know, like, with Sharon this year, like, Sharon wanted to tour. That's what she does. People have to understand, although we're coaches on the show, we've all got other careers and jobs that we need to do. And Sharon's kind of real passion is gigging. She loves gigging, and she loves touring and making albums. And she realised the commitment level is, once it goes live, you know, really, it's the voice.
Yeah.
And that's all you have time for. So I think she made that call. And I think with me, I have plenty of other things that I just kind of, I want to get off. If I want to do an Ironman, I've always wanted to do one. And I've kind of decided if I want to do it properly, I have to kind of prioritize a couple of things. So the voice and the training for that. And then once that's over, you know, I'll start getting back into the music side of things much more intensely.
Well, we certainly look forward to that, and it'd be very interesting if you guys got back together again. There'd be a lot of people that'd be very excited about that. In the meantime, the voice continues, and we'll catch up with you again, Brezzy. Listen, thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye.